What's going on, everyone? This is the Double M Show, where sports and the urban life collide. You already know what it is. I got T-Mac with me, partner in crime, DJ Mees. You know, there's no Mike Nice tonight.
No Mike tonight.
Unfortunately, you know,
That's okay. We're going to hold it down for him.
We're going to hold it
down.
We know
he's listening.
He's listening. He's right now, he's coaching the youth in their playoff basketball game. So he couldn't make it, but this week we're going to hold it down for Mike Nice.
That's right.
T-Mac, you know what it is. What's on the playlist today?
All right. So the playlist is Jassy Carrera, her kidnapping and murder. We want to get the viewpoint on the violence against women going on. And is anything being done about it? And we know this matter is increasing, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to move on to the Michael Jackson documentary, Leaving Neverland, and how this made the Jackson family feel and why it took 10 years after his death to be brought up. Then lastly, but not least, Jaylen Brown and his feelings about his team and where he stands on the Celtics. So let's kick it right off. Jassy Carrera, I know this is a really, really tough topic to talk about, but I feel like it's something that we have to address. Living in, you know, the Boston community, being familiar with that area, it's just something that you would never expect to happen so close to home. And when it does, you know, how do you react to that? What were your thoughts on that?
It was very sad. You know, prior to her unfortunate death, you saw, you know, the missing reports all over social media of this young girl, 23 years old, you know, just turned 23 to celebrate her birthday. And when it's close to home, that's when, unfortunately, that's when you really feel it. And you're just rooting the back of your mind, like hoping, you know, some way, somehow we can find who she is. It was awesome to see, you know, all of Boston come together and really push finding where she was, and, you know, sharing all throughout Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere you went.
Viral, it went viral quick.
It was, but it's just, the whole thing is just sad. Finding out about her murder that day, man, it ruined me. It really ruined me.
I know a lot of people were hoping to, you know, get some good news coming out of that, hoping that she returned home safely to her family, to her daughter. And, you know, when this news hit, it was sad. It definitely hit the community really hard. I think everyone was really touched and, like, moved by this and wanted to help out, which is why her GoFundMe did hit over 100,000.
I've seen that.
It did. It went over 100,000, which is great. So that money does go towards her family and her daughter, of course, you know, so that's a big thing.
It'll never replace, you know, the daughter's mother. It'll never replace, you know, the hole that the family is suffering through. But it's really nice to see that, you know, so many people outreached for her and, you know, helping this family go throughout. Now her, you know, her daughter will be taken care of, hopefully through college and on. And, you know, her mom's legacy will live on through her. It's just the details of what happened. It's tough. It's really
sick.
It's,
we're gonna
it's
talk
really
a little bit
about
that.
It.
So the man. Now, this is where the details do get a little bit tough to hear. She was, you know, essentially cut into pieces, which is where that mutilation comes from. And Marv, you had mentioned that when it first hit the news, the first thing that he said to the police when he was pulled over is, "She's in the trunk."
Right
knowing
away.
Knowing he was guilty, knowing why he was being pulled over. Now, we want to focus this more on, you know, because violence against women has been going on for a while. And what do you think are some things that men and women in the community can do to reduce the violence against women?
Well, as a man, first and foremost, I'll say this, speaking for men, we have to do better. We have to do better. When we see anything going wrong in the community, when we see, you know, a man pursuing a woman that he shouldn't be pursuing, or a woman feeling bothered, or something that's just not going wrong, it's our responsibility to stop that. I feel like as men, we are protectors of women. And when we see anything of that nature, it needs to be stopped. Right away. Even if it's not someone that you know, if you see any woman that is feeling uncomfortable, responsibility to go out there and say something or do something about it. And you know, most likely not, a lot of us, you know, putting me in there as well, will see something, maybe turn the other
Yeah,
cheek.
I feel like a lot of it is like, you know, let me mind my business, let me
Right.
not get involved with that, just because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you could potentially be in harm's way. And I get that. But where do we draw the line and ensuring your own safety?
Say that one more time.
Where do we draw the line
Right.
between stepping up, doing the right thing? If we see something that doesn't look right and we say, you know, hey, you shouldn't be grabbing her like that. Like,
There's
doing
no line.
that
Okay.
and ensuring your own safety, meaning not putting yourself in a situation where you could potentially, you know, get into yourself into an altercation or, you know, get yourself into in the way of danger. Like, where do you draw that line?
There's no line, though. There's never a line. You could see, like with Jesse's case, you could have easily just seen her walking with the man away and
Nothing of it,
thought nothing of
exactly.
it. There is no, you have to just use smart judgment. Yes, there's resources out there. I know you're gonna get into tips and things to use as well, but there's resources. In the hood, you have this hood mentality where, you know, I'm not gonna call the boys. I'm not gonna call the cops, because that's just the hood mentality. We're gonna do things on our own. We don't trust the police. But in a situation like this, you could have saved a life.
Right.
You could have saved the life. So there's ways we need to train ourselves to better the situation. Yes, obviously, number one thing, you want to protect yourself. But
Exactly.
what is the harm in going into someone and asking a woman, "Are you okay?
Right.
Is everything all right? You know, at least you did your due diligence to find out. Now, if you can see that nothing's good, or if she's, they both say, "Oh, everything's fine."
Yeah. I agree. I think for me, when I see, like, for instance, like we're familiar. The back of our hand, like we're so familiar with that. And for me, when I'm out and if I see something going on, like the first thing that comes to my head, and this definitely changed my viewpoint, was, you know, let me not get involved, because I don't want to insert myself in their situation not knowing the whole story. Like, I don't have time to be like, okay, give me the breakdown, what happened, let me know who's right and who's wrong. But I don't want to insert myself into a situation where, you know, if a dude's grabbing on a girl and I'm like, hey, like, why are you grabbing on her, and then he turns around and, you know, hits me, it's like, well, that's what I get for, you know, putting my big mouth in there, you know? So,
And that's why it goes back to, man, we have to do better,
yeah.
to the point where it shouldn't have to be you, T-Mac,
Right.
going out there and putting yourselves in harm's way. You
Yeah.
know, if you're out there, we need to be out there. Everyone's trying to have a good time. It's so crazy that a woman can go into a club, and then at the end of the night, we find out she lost her life
I know.
when she's trying to celebrate her birthday. And that should never, ever be the case anywhere in the world.
I agree. And I think that we all need to work together, not just men, but men and women. If you're out and, you know, something doesn't look right, like Marv said, I keep calling you Mike.
Dang, you miss Mike that
Like
much. I'm
Marv
just kidding.
said, you guys, your names are really similar. But if you are out and you do see something, don't hesitate to just ask, hey, are you okay? Hey, are you going to be able to get home all right? If someone looks a little too drunk, if they're stumbling out, I feel like we need to break that boundary to just watching it and
Right.
finally speaking up and say something, because who knows, you can be saving a life. And I think that's the bigger picture here that we need to kind of focus on.
And what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen if you go ask someone if they're okay? If they're fine, okay, they're fine. You, and
Yeah.
if they, what they're gonna say, back off or leave me alone? That's the worst. At least you know you're trying to do
Right.
something. You're trying to do something right. And like, you know, what we're doing right now, T-Mac, having conversations like this is what needs to happen more often, because
Right.
it's understandable for a man or a woman to not try to approach something when they see something wrong. It's understandable. But if we have more conversations like this to say, okay, when you see, or we have professionals, or you know, police officers or therapists, whoever it is, come and talk to the community, or these are the signs, this is what
Right.
it looks like. We had more conversation like that, then maybe, you know, we can spread awareness. We can share awareness. And you saw how social media can be so powerful this week. Let's start using our social media platforms to spread awareness like this more often, not only when there is a tragedy.
Exactly. Let's try to prevent it before it happens. And I think spreading awareness is definitely the first step towards that. So now we are going to go into T-Max tips.
T-Max tips.
Of course, you know, after hearing about this, I myself thought about what are some, you know, tips or ways for us as women to kind of protect ourselves and have certain guidelines to ensure our safety when we're alone, walking to our car, walking to a building. So I pulled up this study from safetyfirstforgirls.org, and these are the 5 top tips for women for walking to our car, walking into our apartment building, wherever. These are things that you can do to kind of ensure your safety. So the first thing is to have your keys ready. I wish I had my keys on me, because me, this could just be me.
Right.
I carry my keys, you know, like in between your knuckles. Like,
what?
I have like the car one right here.
So you dangerous.
And then you have the house one, like top and bottom lock. Like, I just, you know.
So you're trying to look like Wolverine? Well,
my thought process behind that is like that 3 to 5 seconds you take to like potentially hit them with your keys, like that is vital time to like get away.
That's true.
You know?
Okay.
So that's my thought process. Not everybody has to do that. I'm just saying, like, that's what I do.
How many people have you knocked out with your keys?
None so far. And I hope I don't have to. But definitely have your keys in your hand, ready to go. That way you're not scrambling through your purse or your pocket looking for them. Hence, distracted. And, you know, you never know who's behind you. The second thing is to avoid struggles. So if you have a lot of bags or, you know, you're carrying multiple things, ask for help from someone that you know, of course, family members. Hey, can you help me carry this out to my car? Or what I like to do too is I pull my car up to, you know, an area where there might be a lot of people. So if you do get to your car and you are carrying a lot of bags, there's a good amount of people around while you are loading up your car. So that's another thing that you could do. The third thing is to walk with confidence. Now, we all know that people like Lewis Coleman, he preys on, you know, women who might not be in the right state of mind if you're drunk or if you look weak. So you want to just look confident. Usually attackers don't go for confident women. They know confident women could, you know, fight back, try to run away, scream for help. Like, they go for women who look weak and look like they won't put up a good fight. So you want to just, you know, walk with confidence.
Does one walk with confidence?
Well, let me show you. I'm I've head held high, you know, big strides, just confidence. You know, when you feel confident.
Right, right.
You feel it. Some people
might not know what walking with confidence means. So, you know, head up high.
Chest out. Big strides.
Big strides. I like that little pepping your step. All right.
And the fourth thing is to be aware. So always listen for your surroundings and avoid any distractions. If you hear strange noises, just be aware. Don't be like walking on your phone. Try to like look alert. That would also help. And then the last thing, which is what I always do.
Real quick on number 4. I like that because, you know, headphones. We all have headphones on.
I never walk with my headphones on.
And blasting music. That's dangerous for anybody, you know, man, woman, children, elderly. That's dangerous for everyone, you know. I love music. I'm bumping my headphones all the time. And, you know, sometimes when I do it, I find myself almost getting hit by a car or something like that. So that's,
you gotta be careful.
So that's one thing. And I like the awareness part. Lower down the music. You know,
don't play any music at all.
You can play some music. Just lower it down, especially at night, maybe not have it on. So you can especially at night, so you can really, like you said, be aware of your surroundings.
Focus. And the last tip is something I always do is lock your doors or close the door behind you. So, you know, when you get in your car, I automatically lock my door. Mm-hmm. Leaving your doors open could potentially mean someone could walk up and just get in your car. And I've seen that happen before. Like, I've seen that happen. So, and even going into your apartment building, if someone's behind you, you don't recognize them, just close the door behind you. If they live there, they will be able to have access to that building. So those are the T-Max tips. And I hope you guys can, you know, try and practice these. I believe it will work. I believe it will definitely help make you feel a little bit safer and feel more confident when you are alone. I know it helps me out. So That's for you guys.
I like T Max tips.
You like and it?
I like it. I think this is something we gotta bring into the show more
often. I'm ready.
T Max tips. All these things are not perfect. You know, they're not designed to. It's not guaranteed if you do all those five things.
Yeah, but it's definitely something that help.
Right.
Work towards feeling more safer.
Exactly, and you know, man, woman, children, elderly people, all of. Everyone can use these tips to become more safer because it's a crazy sick world. You see all these things in the news, and then when it's finally here in your city, you're shocked.
Yeah,
like, you see a lot of shootings and all that going on in the world, and then when the Boston Marathon bombing happened, it's like, whoa,
you
would have never thought this could happen in your home, in your city. So, you know, always be aware at all times. Don't be naive in 2019.
I agree. So let's move on to our next topic of discussion, the Michael Jackson documentary. Did you watch it, Leaving Neverland? It was a two-day documentary. It aired on HBO from Sunday to Monday.
Right.
And it got a lot of people rattled. Yeah. So one of the reasons why was there was a couple of reasons. So we'll just go down the list.
Right, right.
Michael Jackson, rest in peace, passed away in 2009.
Right.
It's 2019. That's a 10-year gap of when, you know, he passed away to bringing the situation up now. That was one concern addressed by the Jackson family saying
and
that, you know.
It was the case was brought up in 2005. So that's what, 14 years ago.
So this is the thing. This is another reason why it's become such a rattling situation. In 2005, the same two men starring in the documentary, Wade Robinson and James Safechuck, these same two men are the same guys who testified on Michael's behalf. Both of them claimed nothing happened and went under oath. In fact, Wade Robinson actually got on the stand and testified and said, look, Michael is, you know, he's not a pedophile. He never did anything to me. And so this is all under oath. So for them to come back now,
I said they lied.
It has raised a lot of questions. So in their defense, both of these guys are saying, you know, this is what they said. So the reason why they lied back then and they're kind of, I guess, in their opinion, telling the truth now is because, you know, they now have children. So when Wade Robinson was on the stand, he was in his 20s. He wasn't a child, you know, but he argues that, you know, Michael did have quite a hold on him, a relationship. He made him feel like he was in love and that, you know, if he told, then they wouldn't be able to be together and that they both go to prison. So that is what he is saying as to why he, you know, couldn't tell the truth back then. What are your thoughts?
So, to the documentary coming out now, like you brought up, it being an uproar, I haven't watched it yet. I've read all the articles, and when I'm going, I will watch it. You know, we just had Go Talk a couple of weeks ago, and we brought up, you know.
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw this documentary. I was like, wow.
Yeah, we just had
GOAT
talk.
That was someone's GOAT, and you definitely said Michael Jackson, and I was like, I don't know which side to believe. If you see the documentary, it's really graphic. You have to have a stomach for it. Same, I can compare it to the R. Kelly series. Like, you would need a stomach for it. The things that you have to hear them talk about and say about Michael Jackson.
I mean, let's put it out there.
They said things
having
like
sex with
they
with
would
children.
Take a shower with him. They'd be kissing in, like, hotels and his home. He would have them run drills when they were kids to get dressed fast in case anybody came in. I know Wade Robinson, he claims he fell in love with Michael, and his abuse started when he was 7 years old, from 7 to 14. He said that growing up now and having kids, it made him feel sick about it. But he met Michael because he auditioned for he was a dance choreographer for Britney Spears and NSYNC. And so he won a local dance contest. And that's how he met Michael Jackson.
Right.
So that's how he met the family. And he said that Michael Jackson, you know, his parents liked him. And again, it goes back to that same question we asked when talking about R. Kelly, is why were the parents allowing for their kids to stay with Michael And because he stayed with Michael for a week when his parents went away. A whole week.
Neverland, you know, the magic of Neverland. And
Well, you didn't see the documentary, but have you seen like any like footage on Michael's house?
Yeah. Oh, when it comes to MJ,
it looks like Neverland. Yes. Like he has huge trains. He has basically a zoo.
He has a zoo amusement park.
The guys described it as, you know, hanging with their friend.
Right.
Like hanging with a friend, not hanging with an adult. Like hanging with their friends.
Let's just get it out the way though. Michael Jackson was a weird guy. Like let's not act like he wasn't weird. That he, you know, he loved children.
Yeah.
We can bring it back to his past and what it may be. One thing that's a fact, Michael Jackson loved kids. He had his house was called Neverland. What does Neverland stand for? Never growing up. If you watch Peter Pan, you know what Neverland is. It means you're never growing up. And so he always brought kids over. You know, what's the boy's name from Home Alone? I think it's Chris McCullen, something like around that. There's been children that come out and said, oh, we've had great times with Michael. And, you know, he's never touched us. And then, you know, there's also the other half of people where he had to go to court in 2005 saying that he did. I don't know the facts yet. What I didn't like about this documentary was that it was very usually when you see documentaries, you get both sides of the story.
Right.
You even the R. Kelly situation, you know, you had his brothers there that would explain his side of the story, even though R. Kelly declined to be interviewed. You had other people in his defense. That's what most documentaries are. Sure, you can paint a light into a situation where you want to go to, but why not interview Tito or anyone else from the
director
family?
Dan Reed, he was criticized for this too, but he went on an interview and said he didn't want to include Michael's estate initially because he feels like because they weren't there behind those closed doors, they don't know what happened. They can't really tell a side to a story if they weren't there. So that was his argument. He says he wanted to just focus on those guys' like their truth. He wanted them to tell their truth.
Right.
So that was his explanation for why he didn't include, you know, technically Michael's side of the story.
I mean, it's not good. That's not a good enough explanation, because if you're telling a story, we heard it from when we were kids. There's one side of the story, there's another.
And then there's the truth.
Then there's the truth. And maybe we'll never get down to truth. I do not want to get, I'm not trying to be a MJ defender saying it's not true. I do not have all the facts.
Right.
But what I would say is you need to get a story. You know, who knows MJ more than his brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Let them explain how Michael was when he was a kid. Or get someone, some type of representative. And then you get to the point where Michael Jackson has passed away.
I know. So he can't defend himself.
He's not here to defend himself, because now we got to the point, if Michael Jackson was alive, what would you have to do? Would you have to bring this court case back up again after they've already testified saying that, you know, under oath?
Well, they wouldn't be able to.
They wouldn't be able to. So,
so
you wait till his death 10 years later to bring this up, you know, and a lot of other people are going to say this could be possibly a money grab. That's another angle, you know, are they doing this for money? I don't know necessarily they are, they're not. I mean, they're getting a crazy amount of exposure right now through this. It's just, I don't want to be a Michael Jackson defender saying he didn't do it, but I also want to be the one to say, hey, let's look at all the facts here.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely hard to determine, you know, aside, because Michael is not here to defend himself. And then these two guys lied under oath. So are they credible? Can they be lying again? They kind of took their credibility away by, one, having a 10-year gap, two, lying in the first place and protecting Michael when he was on trial in 2005 for two completely different other boys, you know? And he was acquitted. So what do you do now?
So you watched most of the documentary,
yeah,
right?
I did.
What's your take on it?
I honestly couldn't even give you a straight answer. It was just a lot of, this is what happened to me. But there was no hard evidence. Whereas with R. Kelly, we had footage, you have right. videos, you have, you know, several witnesses, not just two guys who potentially lied under oath. You have a whole bunch of people saying the exact same thing, that exact same story. So I have to compare the two. I really don't know where I stand with that situation, but I will say the things that were brought up in the documentary, if they are to be true, mm-hmm. then justice does need to be served. I know
justice in what way? He's
justice as in they're suing Michael Jackson's estate. So
okay.
they are filing a lawsuit.
Now, you know, we got Mike Nice. He's tuned in. He said, MJ is innocent. Let the GOAT rest in peace. You're hearing a lot more pushback on the Michael Jackson situation than you did with the R. Kelly. And that can be for many reasons. It could be because, you know, Michael Jackson, he was just bigger than a superstar.
Right.
This guy was an icon, the king of kings, you know, the king of pop. A legend. You know, I listen to Michael Jackson all the time. Like we said, he was on the GOAT talk. Everyone, the whole world listened to Michael Jackson. The whole world mourned heavily when Michael Jackson passed away. I have a question though, Team Back. Tell me if I'm tripping or not.
Okay.
So these were boys, right?
Yes.
Two little boys.
Yeah, if age they, 7 and 10 when age, this started happening.
Age 7
yeah.
and 10.
Mm-hmm.
If they were women or girls, would this be bigger? Would the pushback be less?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
I think it's because they're men, mm-hmm. and men in society forever have just been trained to be tough. You know, shut your mouth, no emotion. Men can't get raped. Men can't be sexually assaulted. And that is not true. Men can be raped and they can be sexually assaulted. And I think that it's because they're men that there is so much pushback. But if this was a woman saying, you know, I lied then, but I want to tell the truth now, you know, and her simple reason can be because I was scared. Right. He said that he would do this to me if I told. He's, right. And it's the same thing. These guys are saying, you know, Michael told me that we were in love. You know, and if I said anything, then we both go to jail. That's what they said. They said, if I was to say anything, Michael told me that I would go to jail. If this was a woman and she's in that same situation and she's scared, then it's, oh, I can understand why, you know, she's a woman. I can understand why she's scared and why she doesn't want to say anything. She loves him. Why is this different? I definitely think that if they were women, it wouldn't be as much pushback.
All right. I'm thinking about it. And as great as Michael Jackson is in, like you mentioned, them being, you know, being boys, it makes things so much, you know, less. You don't want to believe. One, you're bringing up, you know, in 2005, homophobia wasn't, you know,
where is
that today?
Yeah.
You know, and homosexuality, excuse me, being accepting wasn't where it is at tonight. So that's another thing, like Michael Jackson with boys. And then, like you said, they came out and already said it never happened.
Yeah.
For you to come out and now you're a man coming out, you know, grown man coming out in your 30s
with kids
and
married.
Everything like that.
Yeah.
And you're saying that another man molested you. It's hard for the public to want to believe.
More than just molested, sexually abused. I know James Safechuck, he said that Michael taught him how to French kiss. They would perform oral sex on each other. Like, this went past just molesting a child. This is, it was a lot. I'm telling you would have to have a stomach for it.
Right.
But again, it's because they're men, you know, and it's not uncommon for a victim to retract their statement, retract their story. You mm-hmm. know, victims in the beginning, they're always scared. They're always scared to, you know, say who their abuser is and say this is happening to them. That's men or women. But I think because they're men, they're definitely, their story's definitely being taken, you know, a different turn.
Yeah, I'm going to watch this documentary. You know, I'm gonna hold off on judgment still because it's tough, man. This is everyone's idol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is from
all
cultures.
I feel like they use everyone's GOAT.
Yeah,
except for mine, because you know who mine was. But he's everyone's GOAT.
You are not comparing no Cardi B to
Michael
Jackson.
I'm not,
but
I'm just saying
that
was my GOAT for that week.
No, we stop it right now. Stop it. I'm mad at you for even breaking it up. Stop it, because you know last time when you said that, I left. You don't do this show. You don't do this show by yourself. So I'm gonna watch it, and we're gonna bring up this conversation again. Definitely get Mike's take on it. You know that like you said, that was his goat of the week. But it hurts. It hurts to even try to fathom that, you know, a man that was so loved could do something like this. But like I said, T. This, he was a weird man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you just gotta watch the documentary, because like there's a video in the documentary of him telling one of the guys, James Safechuck. Now, he was in a Pepsi commercial with Michael when he was 10, and that's how they met. He was in the commercial with him, and that's how that relationship started. But he is in a video, and he kind of gives James a shout out, but he calls him Jimmy. And he's telling him happy birthday, but like the way that he says it is just like, what? Like, it's you gotta watch it. The way he says it, he's like, I can't even impersonate it. Like, you just have to watch it.
So, if it comes out, I don't know how it could come out.
Right.
That it is true. How do you view Michael Jackson? And when his music plays, how do you feel?
I view Michael Jackson as a legend still until these allegations are proven otherwise, you know. Mm-hmm. Same thing with R. Kelly. Like I liked R. Kelly music, you know, before I found out, you know, the type of monster these that are he really was. Right,
talented people.
And after that, I kid you not, I was at a family function just a few weeks ago and R. Kelly came on and I was like, take this off. I don't want to hear it.
So far, I haven't heard no R. Kelly since it, but don't play it around
but
me.
I will, listen, if it comes out to be true, Michael Jackson will get the same treatment from me. Mm. I don't make an exception just because he's a bigger legend, and I like him more than R. Kelly. I probably have more of his music on my phone than I do R. Kelly, but he will get the same treatment.
Like, Michael Jackson, the artist, you can't wait to have kids and show him or her his music,
moonwalking,
like,
but no, same treatment.
I hear that, you know, as this story develops, Double M, we will continue to, you know, get on it. T-Mac will have all
update
the details.
You, I sure will.
As possible. But let's move on from Leaving Neverland.
All right, last topic, certainly not least, Jaylen Brown. So Jaylen Brown had an interesting comment he made to a reporter. I'm going to read the quote. So I know you're pretty, you got a lot of thoughts on this.
Hey, I'm ready.
What are you thinking right now?
So, you know, Jaylen Brown came out, you know, everyone's coming out right now to speaking on the locker room, how the season's going, its presence at the moment. And Jaylen Brown was pretty candid, pretty honest about, you know, how it's going. I think you have the quote up if you want
to
read it.
So he said, to be honest, the losing, it's not a good feeling. I'm not too good about that because right now it's not good. It's toxic. I can't really point out one thing. I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to try my best to be a part of the change. I'm going to try to do my best. That's all I have to say. End quote. So that word toxic, I think that's what kind of rubbed people the wrong way. So he doesn't say who, he doesn't say what, but he says it's toxic. And I know you said you felt he was referring to losing, but reading it, I thought he was referring to the team. So tell me why you thought he was referring to losing.
They're losing. The Celtics are playing trash basketball, and it doesn't get any brighter. They go on this tough road trip where you have to face, you know, the Golden State Warriors tonight. You have to face the Golden State Warriors, is great, the best basketball team who you thought you'd be playing in the NBA Finals, and it's not looking like you're gonna get there right now. So that's why he's saying it's toxic. And another thing is, Jaylen Brown, since the All-Star break, T-Mac, he's been probably the Celtics' best player. He's been balling out. And another thing that sucks is he's been coming off the bench. So maybe he's speaking out more is because he's saying, hey, look, I'm doing my part. I'm going to continue to try to be the best I can be, but I'm not getting the minutes that I should, and right. I'm no longer the problem. I felt like all year, you know, Jaylen Brown's been the guy that has been getting the butt of the joke. Everyone's been yelling at him on the court. You know, teammates have been calling him out on his play. And as of late, he's been playing amazing, and the team has still suffered from it. So, and then you see interviews from Kyrie Irving and the way he's been talking to media, and you've seen how Marcus Morris was saying it's not fun here. That makes it a toxic environment.
Right, and just hearing all those comments, too, to me, listening and reading it, it just sounds like a lot of complaining. Like, get out there and do what you guys get paid to do. You play basketball, not to whine and moan. I mean, I get it, losing sucks, but suck it up. You guys got to, you know, practice hard, play harder. And then it's a good thing that you mentioned, you know, Jaylen Brown feeling that he's not getting the minutes that he's getting. So one thing that was kind of mentioned about this quote that was put out there was, it's one thing to mention, you know, falling in line with, you know, playing your part on the team and then also demanding minutes like right. he should. But do you think that the relationship that goes on, you know, behind the scenes on the team is something that you make a public statement about, or you handle it in private?
You should always, always, at all times, you never air out your dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
You keep it
in-house. Do you think he aired out dirty laundry?
Jaylen?
That's the thing.
I don't think he did.
But a lot of comments about it is that he kind of aired out their dirty laundry by saying, obviously, something's going on, and he's referring to it as toxic. I don't think he did, but a lot of people do kind of airing out.
This is the reason why he didn't air out anything.
He didn't say no names.
He didn't call out as
a team. Right. You know, not as this person, that coach. He said losing in general, the team in general.
Right. And the reason it's not airing out dirty laundry, because we know all of these things. We know right. it's toxic. We didn't need Jaylen Brown to say it's toxic. Right. Out of the whole team has been complaining. You have Marcus Smart. He came out and said, we're not playing as a team right now. And then when they asked Kyrie Irving the same thing, hey, Marcus Smart says you guys are not playing as a team. You know, Kyrie comes out and says, well, that's his opinion. I respect it. You don't need anyone to say, oh man, this Jaylen Brown needs to say it's toxic to know it's toxic. No, it's out there in the open. These guys are out there in front of reporters and letting it all out. So Jaylen Brown's coming out and just saying, hey, look, one, we need to get it together. But yeah, right now it is toxic. But what I've also liked is, hey, we're gonna turn it around. It hasn't happened yet. And they could keep saying they're gonna turn it. It has not happened yet, but they should turn it around. Mike Nice also said Jaylen Brown needs to start. Absolutely, that goes back into the minutes playing, getting more minutes. He needs to be in the starting lineup. Brad Stevens, the coach, needs to start making a change somewhere between the lines. He needs to make a change because it's not happening right now, T-Mac, and it's starting to become depressing. When you lose, it doesn't. Friends, everyone can be cool buddy, but once you start losing, the environment doesn't feel good.
Yeah, once you mentioned, you know, everyone's cool buddy, and I know you mentioned Kyrie, and Jaylen and Kyrie were pretty cool,
right?
You know, last year, and Jaylen even went on to say, you know, Kyrie should be captain of the East, and he kind of looked up to him,
right?
You know, but now I feel like it's not as close of a relationship anymore. I feel like it's kind of going downhill because of that toxic environment. But do you think that, you know, the players are making this public statement because it's not being handled behind, like, closed doors at practice with the coaches? Like, if things aren't getting fixed, that's when I feel like it spills over into the public eye.
Right, and that right there is lack of leadership. So, like you said, they want, you know, Kyrie to be the captain. They want,
mm-hmm.
and he came out and he handled this year horribly. Trash, caca, poop. He handled it. He handled it.
One more.
I'm gonna later. If I do one more, you're gonna get mad because I cuss. He handled it really bad, and you can't handle any worse than how Kyrie has.
How do you
has.
Think Kyrie should have handled it?
Shutting his mouth. Just shutting his mouth or nipping everything in the butt, saying if he disagrees with the young players, right, saying he thinks the young players are not playing well, I need to lead by example.
Right.
If you are the leader, say I need to lead by example. Say we need to be better, not targeting the young guys. Then all of a sudden, you know, I believe around these comments, the same day they were the comments of Jaylen Brown came out, he's saying, I need to stop saying, calling these guys young guys because they're my teammates. So, you know, he's starting to try to figure it out. But when you start off so terribly being a leader,
right? The guys can't look up to you the way. A lot of people are not feeling Kyrie right now. They are not liking him in the media right now. I know a lot of fans.
Fans are ready to get rid of Kyrie.
With how Kyrie has been going about things, and I agree. I think he definitely should be a better leader. I think he definitely has better leadership skills, but he's just not putting them to use. He's not trying hard enough, in my opinion, to bring the team together to play as a team. You know
exactly. And Kyrie did this on himself. Kyrie, you know, the way he's been moody, me and Mike had a conversation off show just talking about, Mike asked me, do you really think Kyrie's like that outside of the media, outside of the camera? I said, yes. If he's showing glimpse of how he's feeling about the team in front of camera, what do you think he's doing in the locker room? If he's talking about the young guys on camera, how's he talking to them outside of the locker room where things can get more? Mannerism has brought down the team, and you can see it. I don't want to get into the whole the team is better without Kyrie, but when Kyrie is on the bench, you see more life on the team.
Right.
You see them happy. So all goes back to what I was saying about leadership. As the leader, you need to help right the ship. And that's all I can say about the whole Kyrie toxic situation.
Do you think that, you know, they can come back from this, that there is a way to fix it? Do you think Kyrie can fix this problem?
Fix
what? Do you
think
he'll step up and be a leader and bring the team together so they can play as a team? Or is it too late? Is it past that? Is it too far back to come back from?
Luckily, the NBA has two seasons.
Luckily.
There's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. But it's going to take more than Kyrie. It's going to take Brad Stevens to step up. It's going to take Danny Ainge to come. It's going to take the whole team to really themselves accountable. Another thing that we're talking about this leadership and the team being toxic is, as people have said, Frank said it, Mike said it, Gordon Hayward.
I knew this was coming.
I was trying to stay away from it. I was trying to go a day without talking
Mark
about the
didn't
guy.
Want to go there.
I didn't, but it's in the comments. We got
to
talk to the people.
You have to talk about the people.
We
go live for
them. Hey, the people say Hayward. I'm gonna talk Hayward. I'm gonna say Hayward shouldn't play no more. He should. This what 20 games left? 10 of the games should be DNPs. You know what that stands for? Does not play. If you're going to play him because he's like, he's getting paid $31 million this year, he needs to get the semi-Ojale minutes. That's 10 to 12 minutes a game. And that's it, because that messes up the chemistry. You have a guy in there who's averaging 4 points since the All-Star game. Or T-Mac, you can go on the team right now.
I go out there and score at least 20.
I know you get
at least.
Okay, let's 20.
They used to call me Swish.
Oh,
all right.
No way.
Don't underestimate me.
But I mean, your leg ain't broken, so you really you got the confidence. See that confidence right there? I brought Gordon Hayward right next to me. I said, Gordon, you could get me 20. 20? Oh, maybe. Oh, okay. He's not confident.
You need to hire Marv as the coach and let him go out there.
You hired me as a coach. I'm ripping it to everyone.
Sit down.
But
you,
I'm
going to
tell the truth. He needs to get the semi-Ojale package. Come out only when the guy needs a breather. So the last 2 minutes of every quarter, except for the fourth, hey, Gordon Hayward, come in, show us what you got.
Come stretch your legs.
And if you make a couple shots, then we'll keep you in. If not, hey, once the next quarter starts, you're back on the bench. Start working on this right here. This is all I needed to keep doing. Just motivate. He needs to be motivator.
He's a cheerleader now.
I need him. He's a leader, right? He's 20. He's one of the older guys. His role right now needs to be, I am the motivator. I heard Lucky the mascot's kind of hurt. So, hey.
Place Lucky?
He could be Lucky. He can play. He look like him. He fits the role. He can be Lucky. Let Gordon Hayward be Lucky the mascot for a little bit. That's what I used to say about the Patriots wide receiver,
see,
Chris
if
Hogan.
If you was coaching, they'd be scared of you. They'd be like, what's
no, they clap too because they know. That's the thing. That's the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is Gordon Hayward. I came out
nobody
and said it.
Nobody wants to say
nobody,
anything.
Know why nobody wants to say it? Because Brad Stevens coached Gordon Hayward in college. That's his boy. That's the reason why Brad Stevens is an NBA coach right now, because Gordon Hayward brought him there. So it's understandable
that
to
he
get
wants to he keep wants that to, loyalty.
But it's
feels like
March.
He owes him.
It's March. You understand what I'm saying? It is March. He needs to sit his butt down.
Where do you draw the line between the friendship right there?
What friendship between who? Oh, Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward? Yeah. And he tried. T-Mac, this man was starting for the first 20 games. He started for the first 20 games, and it was crap. So you put him on the bench to be the sixth man. And it's not working. He needs to be the 10th man.
Okay. Going forward, before we wrap up.
Y'all got me hot. Why'd y'all bring up Hayward? Y'all knew I was going to go off.
This man of water.
Shit.
Before we wrap up, I just want to know, according to you, Coach Marv, what are the three main things you think the Celtics need to do to turn around this toxic situation? Three main things.
They need to, one, I don't know if it's like a potluck, a kumbaya,
team
a
outing.
Movie night.
We used to have team outings on my team. Yeah, team outing.
They need a
team outing.
You
build chemistry,
yes, they
trust.
Need that. It's sad. Yeah. It's sad in March. They need something like that. But they need something just to – well, they're going on a road trip. They're on a road trip right now. Hopefully, you know, you always heard road trips always bring teams together.
Right.
Go somewhere for a little bit. Get to know each other. What made the What made the 2008 Celtics so great is before the season they went to Rome and really got to know each other, really got close with each other. Maybe this team needs something like that. But that's one. Get right. together. Find that chemistry again.
One.
Two. Change the start the rotation. Like Mike said earlier, Jaylen Brown needs to start. Gordon Hayward needs to play less. Third thing, you need to come out tonight and beat the Golden State Warriors. That right there would change
everyone's confidence.
Yes.
Will go right up.
That right there is the key.
I agree.
We didn't do too bad, T-Mac.
We sure didn't.
We didn't do too bad.
Mike, don't get too comfortable. You never know.
T-Mac knows her sport. You asking some questions, girl.
Yeah, I told you they call me Swish.
Swish. You didn't do too bad now.
It's not just about the shot. It's the knowledge.
Wow.
About the game.
Okay?
Okay. Don't underestimate. I know y'all see these nails. You know, y'all
they're
see these braids.
They're sparkling now.
And listen, I pop these bad boys off. I go and shoot 53s back-to-back, don't miss one of them.
We're going to
put money on it.
We're going to get footage of that. If you miss any shot, it's going all on our Instagram.
Listen,
YouTube,
y'all bring a little basketball
Twitter.
Hoop in here and I dunk on everybody. There's no problem for me, okay?
I ain't calling nobody Splash. Mike said call it a Splash. I ain't calling no one Splash.
It's Swish. Get it right, Mike. It's Swish.
Swish, Splash, so sorry.
Anything you want to add before we head out?
Once again, you know, this was a little sadder show.
It was. We had two really rough topics.
She's so popular. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, rest in peace, Jassy. What's her last name? Carrera?
Carrera. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Jassy Carrera.
Rest in peace, Michael Jackson.
Rest in peace, Michael Jackson. Let's, you know, giving him the benefit for right now. You know,
he's not here to defend himself.
He's not here to benefit himself. I didn't like how, you know, no one was there to represent his side of the story
That's
in the
true.
Documentary. Yeah. And then the Celtics, this is what, our sixth episode, and every week we have not said one positive
nothing
thing.
Nothing good to say.
We haven't
nothing
said
good.
One positive thing.
I'm hoping
thing.
Next week we'll have something positive to say about the Celtics, because that is, you know, our home team. I know everyone here is a big fan of the Celtics, Patriots, and, you know, Pats Nation making us look good. We need the Celtics to make us look good. So it's time for, you know, everybody on that team to step up to the plate.
Facts. But you guys already know what it is. This is double...
M-U-A-H. You don't know how to spell Muah?
You said
Just sound it out with your lips.
You can find really me. Simple. You can find me on the IG at Meezy Does It. That's MEEZY DUZIT.
How you spell Meezy? Like, you want to talk about my name? What is your name?
Excuse
me? How you going to talk about me with a name like that?
Meezy Does It. It's so simple.
How is that simpler Meezy, than Tiara underscore Ma? You not even first of all.
Ma is not even in the dictionary. It's not in the dictionary. It's not in the... What does that mean? What's the definition of Ma?
Feel the love. I'm sending the love. Follow Double M Media, please, on Instagram. That's Double underscore M underscore Media. That's really all that matters, unlike his difficult Instagram name.
At Meezy Does It. Follow Mike Nice at Mr. underscore Mike Nice.
That's pretty simple. I think he has a simple one than us.
No, mine's pretty simple.
Yours comes in last. Thank you, everyone.
See ya.